Taxes Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2 of the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas. Go with it. Suspend your disbelief. John Zmirak is playing himself. John, at the end of Hour 1, you were talking about some really disturbing stuff. Unfortunately, we have to go back there. What you just said, that the folks that trespassed, which to me seems like technical trespassing. Most of these people had no idea they were trespassing. I know people who were in the Capitol on that day, and they told me about it. And these are the sweetest people. I mean, no kidding. These are the kindest, sweetest people, people of deep faith. They were just wandering around, thrilled to be where they were. They weren't part of any anything coming near to the idea of insurrection. They're being demonized. They're being arrested, investigated by the FBI. I know some of these people. You're telling me, you've told my audience, that Julie Kelly wrote an article at American Greatness saying that in order to get out of 23-hour solitary confinement lockdown, the public defenders of these poor people are saying that they will read books on critical race theory and all of this nonsense. I simply can't believe that in America this is happening. I cannot, John, I can hardly believe it.
Eric, it's worse than that. They're being subjected to denazification. They're being given books about the Holocaust as if they were neo-Nazis or Holocaust deniers. With the left has a very clear message. The message is, if you disagree with us, you're a racist. A racist is the same as a Nazi, so you are a Nazi. We get to punch you. We get to take away your bank account, as happened to Lauren Witzka, who had run for Congress for the Republicans in Delaware. Wells Fargo just took away her bank account because it didn't like her politics. There are people who are not being allowed on airplanes because of their political views. Airlines are simply saying, no, you are on a no-fly list, a political no-fly list. When we talk about tyranny, when we talk about the left being totalitarian and following Marxist rather than Christian or American morality, this is what it means. And if you don't draw a line in the sand here and say, no, you can't forcibly re-educate Americans for engaging in nonviolent political protests and keep them locked up in solitary confinement and conduct political show trials, if we won't fight over this, and if Republicans won't lead over this, if Donald Trump won't lead over this, then we already have a one-party state. We have a single anti-racist party. It's the called anti-racist party. It's the only legal party. And if you want to not have another one, people will say, well, why do you want to have a racist party? It's exactly the way things were in East Germany. They are imposing an Eastern European style Marxist coup d'etat on the American people. And so many cowards on the right are complicit in it. And when I saw those pants wetting so-called conservatives denouncing the January 6th people as if they were criminals.
Elaine Chao, who was in the president's cabinet, she did her show trial thing. Unfortunately, the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, came out. A number of people that, you know, are at least Republicans and at least somehow loyal to the president at whose pleasure they served, spoke out. But many others did. My question today is, where are the good guys? Where is Ted Cruz? Is he speaking about this? There are a number of people that I think of as heroic. Maybe they're not perfect, but they're the good guys. Where are they?
I think Ron DeSantis has spoken out about this. Ted Cruz has spoken out about it. I'm not sure. I think probably Josh Hawley. The people who actually were themselves attacked. I mean, they're still trying to disbar Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, and they just disbarred Rudy Giuliani for questioning election results. Now, every time a Republican wins, there are some Democrats in Congress who try not to certify the electors. It happens every time. It's almost a ritual. But when Republicans do it based on real evidence, total panic, total lockdown. Now, that tells you something. There is absolutely no problem with the 2020 election, obviously. And in fact, that's so obvious that we have to destroy the lives of anyone who raises any questions. And we can't look at the ballots. We can't look at the signatures. It's really, really important. The truth, Eric, is so fragile. It's a little tiny one trimester embryo, and it's so fragile. You have to protect it with a bodyguard of snitches and secret police and thugs and social media monopoly.
They are the amniotic fluid, so to speak.
Yeah, of this antichrist they want to bring to birth that slouches towards Capitol Hill to be born.
Ouch. John, you know, I think most Americans who live their lives, they just don't want to hear this stuff because it's too horrifying, and they just think if I ignore it, it'll go away. I get that. I get that, how people don't want to hear John Zmirak talk about this because it's just too disturbing. I'd rather believe he's exaggerating, he's biased, maybe there's some truth to it. But the people in leadership, the senators, Donald Trump, Mike Pence for that matter, anybody who believes in America, you don't have to agree with everyone on everything. But if you believe in America, you have to understand this is a travesty. And I'll say this. I believe if they continue to push this kind of stuff, it's going to get ugly. There are going to be bad actors who are going to get violent. In other words, at some point, if you continue to do this thing, you're going to cause the kind of trouble you're pretending has already happened. And that's what I worry about.
You're going to justify the kind of revolution you're talking about. Joe Biden is threatening citizens with nuclear weapons and F-15s as a way of mocking the Second Amendment. He said, these people say that private citizens having firearms is a safeguard of freedom. Well, that is what the American founders, every last one of them, said in the ratification debates of the Bill of Rights. These people are saying that, well, you're going to need F-15s and nukes if you want to fight us. To which the best response on Twitter, someone just posted a picture of a smiling Viet Cong soldier. They could have also posted a member of the Taliban. Because no, the U.S. Army cannot pacify Afghanistan. It couldn't pacify Iraq. It couldn't pacify Vietnam. It certainly couldn't pacify America if they were trying to tyrannize America, especially since they're stuffing the army with trannies and Karens and, you know, rejects from the vocational school. The people who want to sign up for the army, they're labeling as extremists. An army training manual explicitly says, as part of counter-extremist training, that likely extremists include evangelical Christians and conservative Orthodox Catholics. In other words, 90% of the kind of people who will sign up for the army are potential extremists. So if they fill up the army with crossing guards and Bruce Jenner wannabes, and they're going to really pacify America in block-by-block fighting, well, the F-15s are going to be flying overhead with no targets.
I was going to say there's not enough tanks and planes to crush, you know, 300 million Americans. It doesn't work that way. We're not a police state.
I don't put it past them nuking us, actually. Then America, if they started nuking cities because they vote Republican, maybe we can finally achieve the Democrat utopia and America can be an irradiated, empty wasteland.
But of course,
which is,
the cities
I think, the Democrat
don't
platform.
Vote Republican. That's the problem, is that the true conservatives and patriots tend to be much more scattered. We're going to go to a break. Before we go to break, I just want to remind my audience, folks, again, I say this, please go to stream.org and print out John's articles and distribute them in your home school cohort or whatever ugly word we use. Distribute these things on social media. I say the same thing. My friend Keith Junta has some stuff out at thewinepatch.org. Very important we do that. And don't forget Nutramedics.com, 20% off if you use the code Eric. We'll be right back.
From Boston to Denver and every town in between.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hello, gang. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Patrick Byrne. We continue our conversation from hour one. The book, Patrick Byrne, is titled The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald Trump the White House by a Man Who Did Not Vote for Him. Now, look, you're a smart guy. You are convinced the election was fraudulent. Many people look at you and me crazy. They say, where's the evidence? Blah, blah, blah. You know, they trot out the talking points. What do you know that people don't know? And what is in this book? And do you think the election fraud will be revealed? That's the question, because people will continue to say we're conspiracy theorists and just shut up, shut up, shut up. What do you think?
No, they're silly. They're silly. It was a lot of the facts are right there in the headlines. It's just that the press is in the disinformation business and preventing people from adding things up. There are six electorally very significant. This is all walked through. It's a quick read. Six very important cities or counties in our country, and that they're important, that they're the anchor cities of swing states. So all to steal a nation of 3,006 votes, you don't really steal 3,006 counties. You steal six. These six counties, jujitsu, the Electoral College, and the nation.
Sure.
Those six counties are the way, are the place where that crazy stuff happened on Election Day, where they said, oh, there's been in Atlanta's State Farm Arena, there's been a water main burst. We have to evacuate this stadium. Turns out a urinal overflowed in the basement, but they evacuated for 3 hours. Something like that happened in six different places on
Election
Day.
Okay, now, when that happened, days after or the day after, my question was, this happened here, 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 and here simultaneously. Who oversaw that operation?
Well, there is a great deal of Eric Kumar's name shows up in a lot of places, shows up in Arizona, shows up in Georgia, resetting Dominion, reloaded, which it's illegal. You have a safe harbor under the law that up to about 60 days before the election, you can put new software on your equipment, but you can't update after 60 days. They were updating. They took down, I think it was Fulton County. They took it offline in Georgia. Maybe it was Coffee County. They took it down and uploaded new software in the middle of the day.
But you're saying how it was done. There had to be somebody on the Democratic side of things overseeing this or giving the nod. Do you think so? And who would that be?
Yes, I think this goes, I mean, obviously Mark Elias's name has come up as a lawyer who was used, but he's not the mastermind. In any case, let me explain it this way. There is a cocktail of techniques. Some of the techniques are retail level fraud, like a dead guy voted or some non-citizens voted. Some of the techniques are wholesale level, like counting 10,000 empty ballots, fake ballots or something. Some of them are industrial level. And what they did was they stole using the different techniques as much as they could in these different six places. But then at the end of the day, they came in with a cyber attack and forced at the top layer. Right. Mike Lindell is out there saying it should be 9-0. We have the proof. I know the proof he has. And it's, you know, Mike Lindell likes to say that on January 9th, some white hat hackers showed up in his life. They were, if you read the book, I describe the bad news, some hackers I call the bad news bears. They were the guys. We had reached the point on January 9th, I didn't have any more access to the president. Lindell did, and I sent these white hat hackers to Lindell. And Lindell started going into the White House and telling Trump what it was we had been finding.
Okay, so but he's you correct. Still haven't told me who would be the mastermind behind. Is there a reason you can't give a name or two?
I don't know for, I don't, if you... well, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I know some of the names involved, but let's. How do you get the public to eat an elephant, Eric? One bite at a time. Let's just
okay.
Get that we're down on the fraud.
Well, the book is The Deep Rig by Patrick Byrne. What is in this book that we don't already know, and why did you write the book? Because you know, we've all been hearing this stuff here and there. Did you write this book just to kind of put it all in one place? Why did you write it?
Put it all in one place. People are confused by this cacophony of claims There's one place with hundreds of links, so it's organized very clearly. You can read the narrative. Anything I say you doubt, you can click it.
And we know you didn't write the book for the money because you're a billionaire. Right. You own a mansion and a yacht. Let me ask you.
And I'm giving all the money to the America Project, which is something Mike Flynn and I got started to win this back. It's called the America Project.
The America. And that's fantastic. The book profits go to the America Project. Now everybody's going to get a copy. The Deep Rig by Patrick Byrne. Patrick, what if you have to guess or predict, when do you think this will get dealt with? When do you think this will come out sufficiently that news will cover it, that things will happen? Do you think that will not happen? What do you think?
I think it'll happen in the next week or two in Maricopa. I will be clear, while I have helped organize the funding for Maricopa and set the conditions that got it going, I keep an arm's length and kept out of the knowledge of what's been found in Maricopa. That said, by paying careful attention, I believe that you will see in the next week or two something come out of Maricopa that will shock the conscience of America. I think it's going to turn out there is far more. People can't. This is the scale this has gone on is far beyond.
Okay,
what they're
that's what we need. In other words, we need to shock
That'll
the conscience, not of Trump voters, but of America, that anybody who cares about the basics of what it is to be an American should be shocked at this kind of thing. But you think Maricopa is sufficient to start dominoes tumbling? Is that the idea?
There's somewhere between 10 and 20 states who are lined up with binoculars on Maricopa. There's dozens of counties. They're all going to launch their own audit if Maricopa comes up with dirt. And I think there's at least a dozen states that will. And then it just crumbles on the enemy. It just crumbles on the enemy. So it comes down to what they report in Maricopa. And I'm highly confident from having reviewed all the publicly available facts, they're going to find quantities that people are not even
conceiving. Okay, so you're predicting on this show that in the next week or two, America will be shocked.
Yeah, Trump lost by 10,000 in Arizona. I think you will discover you have reasons to doubt hundreds of thousands of ballots in Arizona. Out of 2.1 million in Maricopa, you will discover.
Jenna Ellis and Mike Lindell and I had dinner with some friends, and I got them together to argue over. Jenna says there's no constitutional path to reinstate a president, no matter how much fraud is exposed. Do you think it's conceivable? What is your take on that very controversial subject?
There is not a constitutional path that I see. It does not envision anything. They did understand there might be tumult and discourse and in the states. But they built mechanisms that whatever happened, the Senate looked at it and then they voted and then whatever. And at the end of the day, so I'm not sure there is. On the other hand, there is a constitutional path to consider past March. On the other hand, there's a principle in law that fraud vitiates everything. And I'm not a lawyer. There have been cases in America's history where a congressman got elected and then takes a seat and then many months later. Fraud was that got reversed. That's happened to congressmen a number of times.
In some ways, it's neither here nor there. I just ask it to get your opinion. The fact is that if you say that Maricopa is going to tip the scales, be the tipping point, and that this will be unveiled, and you also said in the next month other things will be revealed that you were alluding to earlier. That's a big deal. It seems like we're going to buckle our seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy month.
Yeah, I think that this month, I think the goons plan on coming back after Labor Day and going full authoritarian on us. Look, they've started in early May. They started a 100-day review of the military. If you count forward 100 days, it gets you to Labor Day. You know, a review for white supremacists.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of military in my life. I've never met one David Duke in my life.
It's madness. Most Americans know this is madness. It's obviously preposterous. It's obvious. I mean, who can believe this stuff?
It's a Maoist. This is a Maoist revolution is what we're facing. Unfortunately, the bad guys have information dominance. But if it were not for people like you, Eric, and so that's why we like these shows with your reach.
Yes. And in case anybody forgets, God is on the side of truth. And he's the author of history. Ultimately, Patrick Byrne, always a joy. We'll see you soon, folks. The book is The Deep Rig. You need to get a copy, please.